Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, you're tuned to Radio Islam International. The program is called The Power Half Hour. And we'll be joined shortly by Ronald Evergy for the verbal fitness sessions. And we'll be going through about a 6-minute workout with him. And straight thereafter, we'll be joined by Life Coach Sumia Kuvaria. Today we'll be discussing the topic of bullying and how you have dealt with bullying, whether yourself personally being bullied or your kid, of course. You can SMS 48855. You can WhatsApp 0727861548 or Twitter at @EJAZ_K. Time to welcome Ronald to the show. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, bro.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Brother, are you well?
Alhamdulillah, I'm doing well. How are you, my man?
I'm good. I'm excited about your workout today for you to get you loose for that game later on tonight.
Yes, brilliant stuff. I was hoping you prepared something. I thank you so much for that. I'm all set and ready to go.
All right, so first thing I wanted to do is generally what we call buttocks kickers. So you're going to place your hands at your lower back,
yep,
and you're going to stand wherever you are and raise your heel to the buttock. So right heel to right glute, left heel to left glute. So you're running on the spot but kicking backwards. That's what you're doing, all right?
Okay.
Very simple exercise. We all know this one. Go for it, go for it, go for it. What this does is it warms the knees up, gets the hips going, forces the heart to pump blood all the way to the legs. And it's just a variation on the normal running on the spot where the knees move forward.
Okay.
So keep on going fast as you can. That's it.
Okay.
All right, good. Now relax it down. Now the first exercise is very simple. What I want you now to do is keep your feet wider than shoulder width apart.
Yep.
I want you to step back with your right leg, bend both knees and step that leg forward as quickly as you can.
Okay.
And as you step it forward, you raise your knee up. The same leg that went back,
yeah,
that knee gets raised up. So let's go for it. So right leg back into a lunge, squat it down, both knees bent, up you come, lift the right knee up to your chest. Take the right knee back, drop it down into a lunge, right foot up, all the way up into the knee. So you're bending and sitting and then you're raising it up. What this does is, keep on going, you do 10 repetitions on each leg.
Yeah.
What you're doing with this exercise is, it's a compound motion.
Okay.
So you're doing something called hip flexion by raising your knee up, working those hip flexors that get a lot of work when you are running in short distances and long, but also in football when you're kicking the ball,
yep,
but also taking it back to warm those legs up to make sure that you scoop that ball as powerfully as you can.
I've
changed legs,
yeah,
let's go. And as you keep it going, squat it down, leg goes back, left knee comes up to chest. Left leg goes back, bend both knees, left leg up to chest. Good. And relax it down, finish your 10 repetitions. Now, brother, what I want you to do,
yeah,
is feet shoulder width apart, bend them slightly. I want you to take 2 shuffle steps to your right, then 2 shuffle steps to your left. 2 shuffle steps to the right. So what you do is you bring the left foot into the right foot out, and left foot follows it. Then your left foot goes out to the left, your right foot in, your left foot out, and your right foot follows it. These are called shuffle steps. So shuffle, 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 shuffle. That's your motion to the right and to the left. This you do for another 30 seconds. What this does, brother, it begins to warm your ankles up for the quick dynamic motion in a football game. So go, 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 fast as you can, to the right, to the left, twice to the right, twice to the left. Non-stop, as fast as you can, light foot contacts on the balls of your feet.
Right.
Keep it going, 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Great. Now from that position, what I want you now to do is feet shoulder width apart, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All that I want you now to do is bend both knees and take a light jump up. What you're doing is you're warming up for those headers. You know you got to jump up and rise above your opponents.
Yep.
So bend and jump, land softly. Bend and jump as high as you can, land softly. You got 20 of these jumps. All right, so you bend the knees halfway and then jump up. So you really are activating something known as the glutes, the buttocks muscle, but also the quadriceps to give you that explosiveness as you jump up. Keep on going. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and all I want you now to do, instead of shuffling to the side, I want you to take 2 quick steps forward, 2 quick steps back. Go for it. 2 quick steps forward, 2 quick steps back, as though you're running forward, running back, running forward, running back. But in a small, confined space, by doing this 2 steps forward, 2 steps back, you do something known as high-intensity training, and you bring that explosiveness into your workout. Keep on going. 5, forward, and back. 4, forward, and back. 3, forward, and back, 2, forward, and back. And the final exercise, brother, is to stretch those hamstrings out.
Nice.
Feet shoulder width apart, lean as far forward as you can. Keep your knees straight, and you hold that stretch. Don't bounce it. You hold that stretch as far as you can for at least 20 seconds. just to ensure that you warm up those hamstrings and stretch them out, because many footballers suffer from hamstring injuries by pulling or straining those hamstrings.
Cool stuff. Okay, I have to move closer to the mic because I've had to move away to do the workout. Jazakallah khair for that, Ronald. We thank you so much for your time, bro. I'll let you know if the workout did help indeed tonight.
I only want to know if you scored a goal. But until that point, brother, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ronald with the Verbal Fitness Sessions on Radio Islam International. Coming up in a few seconds time, we will be joined by Life Coach Samia Kuvadia. We're talking bullying. Stay tuned to The Power Half Hour.
And when life gets hard, you know it can get harder sometimes. You are the only one I'll follow till I die. So I will pray that Allah will keep me on the straight path, holding me close on the straight back, keeping it deep within my soul. Just wait for me to come home. And when life gets hard, you know it can get harder sometimes. You are the only one I'll follow till I die. So I will pray that Allah will keep straight path, holding me close on that straight path, keeping it deep within my soul. Just wait for me to come home.
Yes, you're tuned to Radio Islam International, The Power Half Hour. It's time to discuss bullying with Life Coach Sumaya Kuvaria, who joins us now on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sumaya.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you doing today?
Alhamdulillah, I'm doing well. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, I'm very well.
Brilliant stuff. Lots of our listeners have interacted with us today on the topic of bullying. We'll get to that in a bit. But let's start off at the beginning, Sumaya. You know, why is it important to take a holistic approach as opposed to a clinical one, you know, in pinpointing what factors create the bully and victim dynamic?
Well, Ijaz, this is very, very important, right? And I just like to start off by saying that I realize the time that, you know, this segment gets aired, and many parents are probably doing their school rounds at this, you know, present moment, so they're not having the opportunity to maybe listen into this segment. But you as a grandparent, as a sibling, probably as a teacher, maybe an aunt, an uncle, a neighbor, a friend, just as an adult, this information that we're going to be sharing today is for you as well, because bullying is not isolated. You know, it's something that affects every single one of us as a community, you know, as human beings. Yeah. That's basically what it is. So when we look at this from a holistic approach, you know, we're looking at it completely as a whole, as opposed to trying to figure out what creates this dynamic. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And if we just had to go into a bully, it's someone who exerts his or her false sense of power over someone they perceive as weak. You know, it's almost like a bully can sense somebody that is weak and afraid, just like how a dog senses fear. And they're going to prey on that child or on that person that is, you know, someone who is sort of perceived as weak by them. And in a bully's eyes, weak equals sometimes an introverted child who's afraid of socializing, someone who has only one or no friends at all, right? A child who is overlooked and dismissed, almost made to feel invisible, becomes the perfect target for a bully. And if we had to look at this, Ijaz, you know, in a school dynamic, you know, when it comes to those children that are more on the quieter side of things, teachers also tend sometimes to make this child feel like they're not so important. This child doesn't even know that they have a right to express themselves, or they don't even know how to use their voices. These are children that become targets then for bullies, right?
Yeah.
And remember one thing, that a bully also has a very shattered sense of self. Hence he preys on the weaker individual. He's not going to be preying on somebody that is like him. You know, he always targets somebody who is weaker. And then, you know, we could be asking ourselves that where does he or she learn all of this? right? And I'm gonna sort of go right down to the core here and say that sometimes it's the environment that they are basically living in, because remember, a child becomes the product of their environment.
Yes.
So parenting model is one way that, you know what, the environment can teach them how to sort of take on either the bully mentality or the victim mentality, right? A second way is where a victim is now taught by the parent how to defend himself or herself by beating the bully to the punch every single time by becoming a bully themselves. And this way, yes, it might seem to parents that, you know what, it can work, because instead of seeing my child in pain, I might as well teach them how to bully back, so that, you know what, it's like almost like the playing fields are all level now. But this way never really works, because what's happening is just we are creating more bullies than teaching our children how to do conflict resolution, teaching them how to cope in life, that 10 years from now, they know how to cope with life instead of bullying themselves and bullying their way through getting what they want, right?
Right.
And then another way is, at times, a kid becomes part of a group just to fit in. And so they take on these behaviors of their peers. So look at it from this perspective. Even if this child may have a conscience at the beginning, right, that comes up and they feel guilty for attacking someone verbally or physically, but the need to fit in is so great that the sense of right and wrong gets overrided, and eventually this child turns into a bully themselves, right? So this is just like a profiling from a very holistic way on how to look at what goes on in the mind of a bully, you know, what type of thoughts goes through a bully's mind, and it just becomes more interesting, because, you know, if you are listening to this and you can see that if I pay more attention and if I'm more aware to children and how they behave, how they talk, you'd be able to pick up certain distinct factors that can tell you that, you know what, this child is sort of bullying his way into getting things. Maybe something needs to change here.
Right. Now, that's from the bully side of things, but what role does a victim play?
Well, regards, this is also a very important question, right? Because often what happens is we put so much of attention on the bully and trying to fix the bully up that we don't realize that the victim is the one that needs more attention, right? And I'll tell you why. Because in the bully-victim dynamic, it's the victim that is, it's not that the victim is only fragile, but the, you know, the catastrophic and dangerous thoughts that get created is normally and usually created in the mind of a victim when they reach the end of their rope, right? And what I mean by this is that the child that decides to blow up his entire school is later found to be the victim of bullying. The child that takes his own life, you know, later is found that he was the victim of bullying. It's hardly ever the bully that goes to these lengths of destruction, right? His thing is just bullying somebody and getting a high from there, right? Or just feeling this false sense of power that, you know what, I am great and I am powerful because I have just bullied somebody who is weaker than me, right? So the victim is the one that suffers the most. And if a victim is not taught how to be empowered, they become destructive most of the time. And usually what happens is as they grow up, it becomes self-destruction. This child turns into, you know, different kinds of mechanisms to cope. So it could be going to drugs just to numb out. They could be getting into, you know, things like gangs, so that they feel somehow more stronger and more safe and more empowered, because now they are with people who are very hardcore. So these are sometimes the, you know, the behaviors that a victim can take on, because what happens is when this child that is being bullied obviously takes on the role of a victim, what happens is that they turn their anger inward, right? The bully sometimes is turning their anger outward, that's why they're bullying, but the victim usually turns that anger inward. And it gets internalized and translated by them as, I am weak, I hate myself, I'm not likable, I have no one, I'm all alone. And can you see how destructive all of these thoughts can become? So when we look at this, you know, that this person, this child, this child that's become a victim now is living with so much of shame. Just thinking about all of these thoughts that are running through their mind. They're feeling ashamed about themselves, they're feeling guilty, they're feeling afraid. So many emotions are sort of running havoc inside of this child. And a victim believes they are powerless. and their feelings of overwhelm and helplessness just basically reaffirms this for them, right? So what can we do? Basically, it's to create that awareness by talking to our kids about this dynamic between a bully and then a victim, right? Mm-hmm. But the thing is, Hijaz, you know what's so amazing? That in this bully-victim dynamic, it's not just the bully and the victim. You get the bully, you get the victim, you get the participant, and then you get the bystanders as well, right? It's almost like, you know, this whole big partnership of everybody taking on different roles. Now, if we as parents and we as adults are not going to educate and empower our children on a daily basis, talk to them about what is going on, talk to them about things like compassion and empathy, they're not going to know when they are faced with these situations how to deal and cope.
All right, you're listening to the Power Half Hour on Radio Islam International. We're discussing bullying, and we've asked our listeners to interact with us on the topic. I see Mumtaz Musa Saleh said, my kid has this boy who would ensure people single him out. So instead of going nuts, as kids end up friends sooner or later, I asked him to confront the boy and ask him why does he pick on my son. Eventually, they got talking. Funny enough, they are friends now. Bear in mind, they are 6 years old, she says.
Wow, that is amazing. That is now a concept called, you know, turning bullies into buddies. And that's amazing.
Nice. And then Asina says, okay, this is a bit lengthy, I'll read it quickly. She says, for me, it goes right back to the home environment. Bullies are most likely kids who are faced with angry, violent, or harsh home environments where they are not given a platform to express their feelings. They are unequipped to channel their anger and pain and resort to attacking their peers. Victim behavior also goes back to the home environment where children are too sheltered and often don't face challenges or situations which require them to stand up for themselves. Victims are also kids from homes where feelings and emotions go unspoken, so they are unsure what they are feeling is actually real, and they are not equipped to raise these feelings with their parents or caregivers. In both instances, it goes back to freedom of expression and communication, which is unfortunately very stifled, especially in certain religious and cultural communities.
Absolutely, that's very, very true. Because, you know, the thing is about victims, what happens is, you know, we create this sort of victim mentality in our children where they don't know how to cope with life. It's because whenever we see our children in pain, as parents, our first instinct is, let me see how can I fix this pain for my child. Instead of teaching the child that life sometimes is about pain.
Yeah.
So let me, instead of fixing your situation and controlling every outcome for you, let me teach you coping skills and tell you that it's okay for you to feel pain in life certain times.
100%. Remember, you can keep interacting with us. We've got about 7 or so minutes. Sumaya will be with us. SMS 48855, WhatsApp 0727861548, or Twitter at EJAZ_K. And I think remember last week you said we should open the lines. We'll try that. Mohammed Salim, you can open the lines. 011-854-1548 is the number if you want to interact with us, or if you've got a solution for bullying that you've used that was effective, or of course, if you've got a problem and you'd want Smear to advise you on that, then go for it. 011-854-1548. Now, Smear, what are strategies for parents to create a conducive home environment for kids to thrive and feel safe at the same time?
Well, Hijaz, you know, the thing is that parenting is a hands-on approach, right? And what I mean by this is, moment to moment, you have to be fully present with your child. Not only when they're achieving great success or hitting a crisis point, right? Mm-hmm. But it's in the ordinary moments that connection is created. And as parents, we need to stop tuning out, right? We need to stop sort of becoming so unconscious, or rather being in that unconscious mode. You know, when something is going on with our children, we need to become more aware. And yes, you know, people are listening to this talk right now, and I'm sure they've probably been exposed to many other approaches on parenting. But listening is not enough. Do something different. Evolve in your thinking, right? Because parenting is no longer what it used to be. Today's kids, if you look at it, Ijaz, you know, and I'm sure every single listener will sort of agree to this, that our kids are exposed to so much more pressure from peers, from school. It's their extramural activities, good grades, social media. And then we as parents on top of that put these expectations on them. And we're not doing our job as adults to equip them with tools to walk this path. So they fall into the trap of being bully, victim, you know, and like I said, bystander or participants. That's basically what happens.
Okay,
so
see,
a second point is for us to create a safe zone in the home environment so that our children can offload whatever is going on with them.
Yes.
This is something that is extremely important, right? Because basically the old models of parenting is where you as a parent, you know, try to control the outcomes of whatever's going on with your children. It's, you know, if you see something's going on, you want to fix it.
Mm.
For example, Ijaz, if you're a parent and your child has been through bullying, what happens is our natural human instinct kicks in. And in that moment, you are running on adrenaline and anger. Mm-hmm. You want to run out and you want to beat the perpetrator up because now you see your child in pain,
right?
But what's happening here? You're not teaching your child how to cope.
Mm. So may I, on that line, on those lines exactly, there's a question that has come in. It says here, Assalamu alaikum, I have a four-year-old son who allows smaller kids to hit him. He stands helpless when kids hit him. He doesn't defend himself. What do I do? I don't want to tell him to fight back. That's
absolutely
coming.
You know, with a four-year-old, yes, they are so little, and all of this happens to them. You know, the most important thing is, Ijaz, from my own experience with my kids, yes, who have got bullied as well in the past when they were little, you know, firstly is understanding what is the child going through. Just listening to them. That child knowing that you as a parent you have their back every single time, right? So even if a four-year-old comes home and you know what, maybe he's gotten beaten up by these other toddlers or other children that are his age, you know, when you as a mother, you're listening to all of that, allow your child to feel that pain. Allow your child to cry. Don't show him that now you are getting absorbed in his pain also and you become powerless, right? Then give your child options. Yes, he's 4 years old, so their understanding is also limited to, you know, to us as adults. Speak to him in child-friendly language. Try to make him understand that these other children, yes, as difficult as it may sound, they are going through their own difficulty probably with their parents.
Mm.
They're probably being bullied at home by older siblings. And their only way of knowing how to deal with life is to come and deal with other children in a similar manner and by hitting, bullying, biting, or whatever they do, right? Another way is to teach children from the inside, you know, how to build their self-esteem. One very important, you know, thing that I'd like to just share and put out here for the listeners, Easy Jazz, with my sons, when they were getting bullied, what I taught them is your physiology, body language is very important. Because, you know, the body language you stand in is basically what creates this chemical reaction in the brain. And obviously, if you're teaching your child how to stand as a confident person, the chemical reaction that comes into the body is one of confidence. So there is a pose that is called the Superman pose, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically teaching your child every day how to stand in that pose. Because obviously, I mean, everybody knows, you know, what Superman looks like, right? Even a small four-year-old can sort of resonate with that. It's standing in that pose with their feet a little, you know, wider than hip width, putting their hands on their shoulders, letting them stand up tall, take a few deep breaths in, and let them feel how confident and strong they feel in that moment.
Hmm.
By doing this every single day, your child is going to notice they're getting stronger and stronger. Another thing is what they're going to do, they're going to come home and tell you that, you know what, I actually stood up to this bully today. Even if it's a small little thing that they did, you think as a parent they should be doing something greater. But every small little step in the right direction should be acknowledged and validated. That is basically how every single day you are going to help your child to build their self-esteem. Because the bully-victim dynamic is not something that can be fixed overnight. Like I said, it's a hands-on approach. So every single day, when your child comes back from day school or, you know, preschool or wherever he is in at 4 years of age, ask him, how was your day?
Samaya?
What happened, you know, in your day between you and this person that is bullying you?
Okay, we've got like 2 minutes and I've got to ask you another question and, of course, read this interaction from a listener from Sister Zakira. She says, my eldest is in grade 7 and the school she attends has this bully-free zone sign all over the school. They have zero tolerance with the support of the students. I ask that my daughter report bullying only if she feels like she cannot handle the situation herself. Our kids are going through life, and bullying is at every stage of life. I find that when a bully is confronted and questioned about their actions immediately by the victim, they fluster and back down. They are also human, and trying to understand them may benefit them. If a bully can realize that they do not need to demean anyone to make themselves feel better, it could be a step in the right direction. That one from Sister Zakira. Jazakallah for that. And a question coming through: how does a teacher deal with bullies who bullies other learners outside the classroom, and then parents of victims involve the teacher? How does a teacher go about dealing with such situations?
That is, you know, that is something
in 30 seconds.
In 30 seconds, we're definitely not going to be able to get into it, Ijaz.
Yeah, we'll take it up again, I think, Sumaya, next week. I see another question also coming through.
Inshallah.
Yeah.
You know, maybe Inshallah. Next week we can continue with this, because, you know, this is a topic I feel, you know, very passionately about.
Right.
And it's something that is very big that parents need to get into and understand the different dynamics and how to help the children out.
Perfect. All right. I think we'll have to leave it there, and I'll just read the other question as well. It says, Assalamu alaikum, please advise, my children are not allowed to go to my friend's home to visit. They are always fight and anger really takes hold of them. What do I do? They don't listen to me when I try to calm them down. They persist on fighting. Sometimes dangerous objects get used. Wow. Okay, so that's a hectic one. So, we will definitely pick it up, inshallah, next week. Sister or brother who sent this through, we will take it up with Sumaya next week. Just on a lighter note to end, Sumaya, when our elder Zahra was going to school, and then just jokingly I said, if any boys trouble you anything, you must just punch them, you know, I was just playing.
Okay.
And then what happened is someone did trouble her, and she did punch them.
Okay.
So what has happened, the good part about that is no one has ever troubled her since then, so I think it was a good precedent she set out there, so I'll make a mark for that one.
Absolutely, but you know, it's not always that, you know, things turn out so well.
Yeah. Definitely. Sumaya, we'll leave it there for now. Jazakallah khair. It's been an absorbing discussion. And of course, time is always against us. And we'll have to leave it there and pick it up, inshallah, next week. Have a wonderful day going forward. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
That's the end of the Power Half Hour for today. Join us tomorrow once again for more discussions, more workouts. And have a wonderful day to everyone out there, inshallah. Keep interacting with us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.